Welcome to Second City Cinema, everybody. I am your hostess with the mostest, Ryan Ebner, alongside Dan the Freakster Frigo and the Darth Lord of the Sith himself, Curtis Stelter. Welcome back, everybody. This is a special episode because we're going over Batman vs. Superman. It's a film.
It is a movie.
Yeah,
it adds to DC.
It does. It. I mean, you could kind of say Man of Steel was the beginning, but this definitely starts everything in motion. So before we start, I will say there will be lots of spoilers if you haven't seen it yet. Although
Martha! Martha!
Oh, that one photo you sent me. Oh, man. Good
of the Martha one? Yes.
Coke.
Oh, my God. But we will get into all of that. We will tell you how we each feel about the movie as a whole. And we'll start it off right here. Dan, I'll ask you your favorite part of Batman versus Superman.
My favorite part of Batman versus Superman, you know, I did like, I did like that part, actually, where it's kind of like when they first start the fight, and then they're in a church or something. I think that's what they're in.
And it's some kind of like apartment complex of some kind, but yeah, it's got like a really grand lobby or something.
Yeah, and like, you know, then they're sitting there fighting, and then he's got the kryptonite on top of the stick there. He's on top of him, and he's like, "You gotta save Martha."
That's your favorite part?
What do you say? Well, it's hilarious. It's pretty good, though.
It is. I mean, I like that it kind of... Some people hate it. Like, some people really, really hate that part. And I don't really hate it. I think that... It made the whole beginning of the movie with you seeing his parents being shot and then you having his, that nightmare vision. Well, yeah, that. And then, like, you saw this nightmare thing where the vampire thing bust out of Martha's tomb. I mean, clearly that had to play a role somewhat in the psyche for Bruce Wayne. And at the end there, it's kind of like, that was the trigger. Like, where's the trigger? Like, that's what it was. And we get that, like, cool, like when we used to get from Christian Bale, and he would just go full on, just...
Well, it's cool, too, because, like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Superman's mom's name is Martha, too.
I totally had forgotten about it. But it was a cool moment. I think, I personally will say, like, my favorite part for Batman vs. Superman is Ben Affleck, in general. He played such a spot-on Bruce Wayne when he had to. He played a great Batman. In my opinion, the best that we've seen. Sure, he kills people, but like I like that. I think that fit the story that they were trying to tell of a Batman, like a Bruce that is like broken and had been just ran through some really just awful shit. Like we see Robin's... outfit, with the Joker writing all over it, and clearly showing that he has been, quote unquote, killed by the Joker. So it made me want more Ben Affleck and more Batman standalone movies. But at the same time, it made me want the Justice League movie because I was like, oh, this was really
cool. Well, it teased
at that. It did. Wonder Woman was great, too. So that was awesome, too. Their music was great. But my personal favorite thing is just Ben Affleck as a whole for this movie, which is so funny because I will admit I was one of the people when it first was announced. I was like, fuck this. Like, I don't want Ben Affleck as Batman. Fuck this. I want Christian Bale. And then I saw it. You know, and I was like, man, yeah, so it was. And then I saw Ben Affleck do it, and I was like, wow, you are awesome. Great job. A great year for him and Ryan Reynolds, who got to replay superheroes, and they lived up to it. So that was awesome. Curtis, your favorite part of Batman vs. Superman?
I mean, yeah, Ben Affleck is just spot on. I mean, that is the Batman. We've seen several different interpretations of Batman, so this is something really new and fresh, and the thing that I liked about it after seeing it a second time is the fact that it's made very apparent that he just started killing. Like, this is in response to the fact that Superman is here now and he has become far more violent in order to deal with him. So that, to me, I was like, okay, I'm far more interested in it. I mean I really liked the small, I mean, we only get, you know, probably 10 minutes of Wonder Woman in the movie, but the things that she did in the fight, I mean, we knew she was in the movie already because of that trailer, which truthfully I think is really the downfall of this movie is that second trailer, because you knew everything that was going to happen. But she, the nuances she added in the fight, the way she appeared the first time in the fight, and then her badass theme song, really, I was a big fan of all those things.
It was great. It was awesome. You're right, though, the second trailer thing. This leads me to the next one. What did you like the least? And, I mean, part of it was I didn't like that we had the second trailer where they showed Doomsday. They showed Wonder Woman because, as I was thinking, like, man, if I didn't know that, ooh, those scenes when Doomsday first comes out and when Wonder Woman shows up, it would have made it so much more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, which I'm not going to shit on Marvel for showing Spider-Man. Like, that's awesome. I'm glad they did. But, like, what my brother was saying to me was, like, when we went to see Batman vs. Superman and we're sitting down, he goes, can you imagine if you didn't see that trailer until now? Or, like, you didn't know that Spider-Man was supposed to be in this movie? Like, you just didn't pay attention? Like, you lived under a rock or whatever? And then you saw that, like, that moment, you're like, oh, my God, you know? but that would have been the same thing with Batman vs. Superman. If you didn't show me everything, I would have been like, wow. Because instead, you're kind of sitting there and you're in anticipation for it then. You're just waiting. You're like, yeah, I know it's coming. Where's Doomsday? Where's
Wonder Woman? They don't have his ass kicked.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
It almost belittles the fight between Batman and Superman because you know there's a tier two fight, which the Holy Trinity's on screen and they fight Doomsday. Like, you know it's coming. Yeah. So now the stakes for Batman v Superman aren't that high.
Right, it's like you already know, like, okay,
they're going to be friends.
Right, exactly. You know, like, Batman's not going to full on go out and kill Superman. Superman's not going to kill Batman. No, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You just know it's there, you know?
Yeah.
So that probably is my least favorite thing about it. And I mean, all in all, like, the movie itself wasn't bad. I think people that give it really awful reviews, like, I mean, ease up a little bit. I've seen stupid reviews, like, you know, well, it's not funny. Well, I don't expect a Batman and a Batman movie in general to ever be funny. I don't expect anything like that. I didn't want anything. I didn't really want a lot of humor in this. I got a little bit, you know, with Martha Kent when she's like, when Batman's like, "I'm a friend of your son's," and she's like, "I know the cape," and I was like, "Oh, see, that was a good little bit I needed. That was great."
Yeah.
But all in all, I thought the movie was good. There are certain things, like the plot of that movie is very, very clouded at times. Like, I think the first whole hour and a half is really cool because it sets up, you know, there are a lot of moving parts and they're setting things up. And then it just kind of, like, I don't know, it just felt like it drifted in weird ways. And then at the end, like, for them to go full on out with the death of Superman, I was like, oh, okay. But then at the end of the movie, when they show the coffin and the dirt moves, I didn't need that.
Yeah.
I really didn't need it. Could have just... You didn't have to show me it. I could have been perfectly fine with just let me believe that he's dead. But I think this movie, for people like us that are comic book fans and comic book movie fans, this movie was pretty good because we understood what they were doing. For a casual fan, this is probably why it would get an awful rating. Probably. What didn't you like from the movie, Dan?
What I didn't really like from the movie was how they kind of... Obviously, they had Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. They even showed all the people who were part of the Justice League for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they kind of threw too much into one movie. When the movie was supposed to be just around Batman and Superman and their whole conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they kind of, like, they should have done, I mean, I understand why they did some of it. Like, hey, teasing Justice League is fine because that kind of built up to it.
Yes.
But I feel like they just showed too much in one movie and they kind of got, like I said, that's probably why I took away from the plot a little bit, because he just kind of went off and you kind of talk about this a little bit. This. And it's like, that's why I didn't really like it.
Yeah, I think that what happened was they knew the Justice League was coming, and they knew they had one movie to hit it out of the park, and they had to throw everything in here, because you know that's the next step. So, you know, you can blame... there. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you can blame that. You can blame it on the fact that DC just didn't start right away. Marvel did. But Marvel had a lot of films. I think, what was it, 5, 6... to build to that Avengers moment.
Yeah, right.
Batman vs. Superman was just, that was it. I mean, in Man of Steel. But when you saw Man of Steel, you didn't really know what you were getting afterwards.
No.
So this, to me, was the leaping point. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot in it. And in the way that they, I mean, I think, I have a feeling that Curtis will get to this, so I'll let him say it. But the way that they show the Justice League members was a little eh. But yeah, I agree with you. Curtis, your least favorite parts of the movie.
You know, I genuinely enjoy this movie. I would just like to preface that because I feel like the remainder of this conversation is going to really make it sound like I don't like this movie. I have sizable complaints with it. I think that are valid. But, you know, I think the first time we went in expecting this is the birth of the DC world and, oh, it's going to be so great and, you know, how could they possibly, you know, fuck it up? And then, like, well, you have to introduce all these characters and, okay, I can really get why they want to fight and, oh, they're just going to, oh, they're best friends now? That was, wow, that was less than, like, the relationship between Finn and, Poe and Star Wars. Like, we bought that and it was like 5 minutes, but we understood that these guys are now best friends for life. Whereas he said his mother's name and now all of a sudden he's like, don't worry, I'll save her and if anything happens, I'll avenge the planet for you and just, we're bros, man. It's all good. We're totally bros now. I don't know where that came from. It happened and I was like, oh, okay. You know, Batman is the one that does all the work to figure out who the Justice League is, and then we fucking find out because Wonder Woman opens a fucking email. Like, that's just lazy. That's like some of the laziest shit I've ever seen. And again, I really do enjoy this movie. The first time I walked out, I said that I was just... I said, huh. I'm like, all right, that was... Everything you chose to do in this movie is kind of... You kind of backed off, which is, I mean, my problem with it is they kill Superman, and that's a big, huge, bold choice. And I was like, yes, fuck yes, go. This is going to be huge, because now Darkseid's going to show up and fuck him up. You have to get him back for part two. It's going to be awesome. Oh, he's alive. Well, why couldn't you have just had this fucking conversation at, like, Ma Kent's house, and she's making you dinner, and it's the three of you, like, we need to find the rest of them, and we need to prepare for what's coming. And Superman's like, that's a fucking great idea, let's do that. And then Wonder Woman goes, yeah, that's a great idea. Boom, that scene makes total sense.
Yeah.
That being said, I think the DVD with the extra footage, because the bits that Snyder has said and other actors have said about the full 3-hour cut of the movie is it's a very different movie, which is why I think it feels so choppy. There was never like a smooth fade or edit. It was just a scene would end and start like on top of each other. Yes. You barely had time to register that you, oh shit, new people, different. Okay, that was a Superman scene. Now it's a Batman scene. Now it's a Superman scene. Now it's a Batman scene. And it just, that was the whole movie.
Kind of like how it cuts to Lex Luthor's corporation just being like Batman went in there and fucked shit up and he took all their stuff, but you don't see that. It just like cuts right to the building being like all fucked up.
Yeah, he's long gone with the kryptonite at that point. And you're like, well, that would have probably been a fucking badass scene.
And I think this
movie is already now with this extended cut over 3 hours. So I think I can understand where certain things were taken from, Again, the action sequences, like the Doomsday fight and Batman and Superman fighting, and the fact that it's just him laying a bunch of traps, like that is how Batman would fight against Superman. And in the comics, when they do end up fighting, that's what happens. So I can't really complain about the action. It's just some of the script writing and some of the choices that they made to try and make this film big didn't really work for me, like at all, unfortunately.
So let's get to our grade for this movie. Curtis, I'll start with you. What is your overall, out of 10, your grade for this movie?
Well, when I walked out of it the first time, I said a 6. And I said that because, like I said, a lot of problems that I have. And it's very unforgiving. If you don't know the comics, they are not there to hold your hand or explain it to you, even remotely. Which is actually, I think, a positive of the movie. Just fucking saying, here's the Flash. Do you not know who the Flash is? Too bad. He's talking to him from a possible future. Are we going to see that future? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Like,
right, exactly.
There's that. But as soon as I saw it the second time, I was like, okay, I know what happens. I'm not going to go in there with any sort of preconceived notion, and I'm just going to enjoy the movie for what it is. And I really did enjoy it that second time. So I would say a solid 7 for the movie as my final score.
Dan?
Yeah, I agree, Curtis. Here, I would give it myself a 7. Mm-hmm. I give it. Like, it wasn't outstanding to me. It wasn't terrible. Like kind of like what Curtis just said. You know, it has some ups and downs to it. But I would, like I said, 7 out of 10. Something average. You know, something I'll still recommend someone to see. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't tell someone definitely stay away from it.
Yeah, I saw it a second time as well. And the first time I saw it, I was floating around where I wanted to put it. I wasn't quite sure. And then I saw it a second time, and I was like, you know what? I give it like an 8. 8, maybe 7.5, 8, something like that. It's a solid movie. Like, that's how I looked at it. For people that I saw just ripping it to shreds and saying it was terrible, I was like, well, that's false. I don't think it's terrible in the least, but I don't think it's the greatest superhero movie I've ever seen either. I mean, I would still put the big Marvel juggernauts ahead of it, you know, whether it's Avengers, whether it's Guardians of the Galaxy, whether it's Age of Ultron. I mean, those are still ahead of it, but it's a solid movie all around. So I'd give it an 8. Again, like Dan said, I would recommend it to people. It's not like somebody would be like, man, don't waste your time watching it. It's still really cool. And like,
it's not Fantastic Four.
Oh, God. So, even watching it for free hurt. Even watching
it makes me sad, though, that some of the, like, just to touch on what you were saying, like, that some of the reviewers kind of shit on it as hard as they did. Because I know people had a really, you know, had invested a lot in this movie and were expecting a lot out of it.
Yeah.
But I really can't say that it was the worst movie. It definitely wasn't the greatest comic movie of all time, which is what some people said when they walked out of it. But it definitely delivers on giving you, like, the Justice, like, the Holy Trinity is there. They are working together to make the Justice League. And yes, I will admit that having Wonder Woman be the one to reveal it to us gave her something to do aside from the final fight in the movie. So, you know, I'll kind of pass on that. But we are getting a Wonder Woman movie, and then we are getting the Justice League Part 1 and 2 and a Flash movie and an Aquaman movie,
which are not origin movies.
Exactly. Like, they are going to be it's going to be stories about them.
Yes.
So I think that it's not, I can't necessarily say, oh, fuck it, you know, give them a pass, because it's not exactly fine. Like, we were expecting big things, and they did try to cram a lot into this, and it, you know, it kind of blew up on them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely excited for what's coming later on in really all of their movies. And I mean, even looking at Suicide Squad coming up here soon, I mean, that new trailer dropped and it looks great. So I'm not worried about what's coming with DC.
No, exactly. Neither am I. And I mean, and you got the 3-hour DVD coming out, so I mean, right, that's going to be great too.
And that and the Deadpool DVD, like, both of those, yes, like, these great DVDs are coming out with all this extra stuff, and I'm like, oh, give it to me.
So
shut up and take my money.
Exactly. before we move on, before we talk about Suicide Squad trailer and Civil War, you talk about the Justice League. So in part one of the Justice League, what are you really expecting from this movie, Curtis?
Darkseid, Parademons, and the setup of them realizing that they are not complete without Superman. Like, that's going to be their Avengers 1. They're getting the band together. But they realize, I'm going to guess that they're going to realize that even though they have, like, a heavy hitter like Aquaman and Wonder Woman, it's still not enough to deal with Darkseid. They need to get Superman back.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll probably lead into, I don't know if we'll see Superman back for this movie, or if that'll be for 2, but I feel like if you're going to do Justice League and you don't have Superman, you can't necessarily do Justice League.
Right, exactly. Dan, what are you expecting out of Justice League 1?
I kind of like Chris. I was thinking that, like, it'd be kind of like an Avengers. You kind of, like, get the band together, and you find ways to try to bring back Superman, because he is technically dead, right?
Yes.
And yeah. So that's kind of how I thought it was going to be, and like I said, I think it's going to be, like, what are they going to do for Green Lantern? He's part 2, isn't he?
They have not said anything.
So they they don't know yet. So I would think maybe they'll kind of tease something there about, you know, how they're going to lose Green Lantern again, if they're going to do Ryan Reynolds. I doubt it's Deadpool now. But,
right, but who?
Well, they have 4 Green Lanterns to choose from. Stewart, yes. John Stewart, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, or Kyle Rayner. Right. So.
Yeah, so that's kind of how where I feel like it's going to be for the part 1 of the Justice League.
Yeah. All right, cool. I mean, I'm on board, same thing. I saw an article earlier, and it was pretty cool about, I mean, it's really a stretch, but how they talk about, so if we got to this point, we already know, the death of Superman was done. That's the comic they used. That was done. They did it. So at the end, when they put the casket, but he's not really in that casket, but when they take him to the memorial, it's black with the silver S, and some people have speculated, like, what if, because when he does come back in the comics, he is wearing the black suit with the mm-hmm. silver S, and if they do something like that to change it up, I mean, that'd be cool. But I don't know how quick do we get Superman back. I mean, because the end is the dirt is levitating. It's floating off the casket. Right. So it's clearly showing, like, he's still alive in some sense. So, like, what are we getting out of it? Are we getting him right away? Because I don't know if I want that either. I don't know if I really want it right away. Like, hey, boom.
But then why did they do it in the first place if he's just automatically back?
Right, exactly. So I don't know if that's something I want out of it necessarily, but I don't want them to dick around with it too long either. Like, it's like, you showed me it, I know he's alive, so it's really, see, that's what I'm saying, like, if they just didn't show that part at the end, I would have said, man, that is wonderful, that was really cool, the way to let me believe that he's dead, even though in my, you know, hearts, I'd be like, nah, he's not dead, like, he'll be back for Justice League, don't worry about it, but all in all, I think that's what they do. And the Green Lantern thing is a great question because I'm waiting for it, but they haven't said anything. They don't have anything. Nothing's been out there yet about, like, this is what we're going to do. This is the Green Lantern we're going with. None of that yet. So that will be interesting to see, too, because, I mean, Green Lantern is in the Justice League. So it'll be interesting, to say the least. And interesting to see what kind of transpires with Cyborg and that his dad had the mother box and all that. So, I mean, there's a lot of little cool things that they threw in there. So, I mean, all in all, the movie's good. I mean, so I'm excited for Justice League also. But that leads me to my next question. It was an article I saw last night. And it's basically, should superhero films better reflect the comics? This one clearly reflected two comics. The Dark Knight Returns and The Death of Superman. So, should these superhero movies, because we're getting a lot of them. Like, this is the year of superhero movies. I mean, my God. It is just nonstop. It started with Deadpool. Then we got Batman vs. Superman. Then we get Civil War. Then we get X-Men. Then we get Suicide Squad. We get a Doctor Strange movie. Like, we get a lot of superhero movies before the even quarter four starts of the year. So, should these movies better reflect the comics, Curtis?
Not necessarily. Civil War is coming out, and that is not based off of the, I mean, it's in title, sure, and there is going to be, you know, Cap versus Iron Man, but it is, you know, the Sokovia Accords, it is not, you know, 80 people on each side, and the battle lines are being drawn between, you know, this huge army of superheroes and villains. It's, you know, like 5-on-5, and the reason they are fighting is a way different, truthfully. I mean, it's sure there's going to be a conflict, but they have that kind of core story to go with there. But Batman and Superman was very much The Dark Knight Returns and The Death of Superman, and that was why when you were like, well, like, it's based off of a comic, I can't tell you the second one, otherwise it gives away the entire end of the movie there. But, you know, it borrows from them, and it takes the really great imagery of, like, the power armor and, you know, having Darkseid and all that kind of stuff, which are great elements to use. I mean, they're also in the comic book, so it's not necessarily like, oh, that is because of The Dark Knight Returns or Superman. Like, if you have Doomsday, you can probably infer or imagine that Superman's either going to die or get the shit kicked out of him at some point. So that's what people kind of assume when they see him. You know, people take a gasp if he appears on a page, because they're like, uh-oh, last time he was here, he killed him. What's going to happen this time? Mm-hmm. So I think it has the merits of using the material that's there. I mean, if they just try to start because Age of Ultron was a comic. I mean, it had the splash panel moments. It had the whole Avengers on the team there, just in the slow-mo. It had the, you know, the Ultron bots charging at the end, had this cinematic kind of Shakespearean feel to it. It was literally like I could walk to my shelf of comic books and pull off Age of Ultron and read that, you know, as a movie. Or Guardians of the Galaxy has a very, like, it's the band coming together to fight Ronan.
Yeah.
And I think that's why those movies do so well, because they are set like that. But they're not, neither of them are based off of
No, they just something. Take the they title are, and they take bits and pieces of them.
Right. Themes and ideas that are present in books that are even named the same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really telling unique stories. But also, I feel like that's based off of the people that are playing those characters and stuff like that.
Right. Dan, your thoughts on should comic or, you know, superhero movies stick towards the comics or not?
I mean, I think, like, kind of like how we said before, like, I think they should stick to, like, the theme of the whole entire comic, like how, like, we just talked about all the other multiple comic books out there and how they try to, you know, they should have the idea down. but they don't always have to necessarily stay with it completely, you know, page to page. You know, make it a little unique sometimes, change it up, you know, like you said, especially with certain actors, do different things, directors, maybe they want to try something new, throw on something else in there, which I don't mind. I mean, we've seen many movies that are based off books and comics, and they still do very well, even if they're not completely on the same track as the comic was, which isn't bad. So I look at it as, you know, if you threw either one at me, I'd be fine with it. I do something kind of like how they kind of make change it up a little bit and see, you know, what the director can do with it, which I think is kind of a good idea. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it the same way. Like, I don't want to necessarily be exactly like the comics. I think taking a full comic and trying to dictate it on the silver screen is really hard. I mean, because comics are like, you know, they're very episodic in their nature, where they build towards the next one. You know what I mean? It's not very easy to take that and throw that on a movie.
You can't just pump out hour and a half movies every week or something.
Right, you know? Exactly. It's not like a TV show. Now, could TV shows do things like that? Of course they could, because they are episodic, and they can, you know, fill 45 minutes with something and then this and then this, and they can do things like that. But movies, it's really difficult. So I like that, where they take certain ideas from it. I mean, like, going back to Age of Ultron. Yes, in the comics, it is Hank Pym that creates Ultron. It is not Tony Stark. But in their universe, it was better for them to have Tony Stark create Ultron, because Hank Pym wasn't even a thing yet. Like, we didn't even know. We didn't get Ant-Man yet. And then we got Ant-Man, and he wasn't even Ant-Man anymore. Like, it's the new Ant-Man. So, I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily stick with where the comic goes, because obviously, look at these movies still make ridiculous amounts of money. When it's all said and done this year, I want to see how much the big comic movies made altogether, because it's going to be a ridiculous amount. Batman vs. Superman may have had a bad second and third week, but their opening weekend was outstanding. I mean, made a lot.
They're definitely going to make their money.
Yeah, and they're internationally, they still made, in the last week or two, $500 million. So, I mean, they're making a lot. It just may not seem like it, because it's not, again, I look at it as where Deadpool was a thing where people saw it multiple times. Whether you downloaded it, whether you went to the theater, whatever you did, you watched it multiple times. Also, it's shorter. I tell you what, when I watched that Batman vs. Superman a second time, my God, 2.5 hours is a really long time when you already know the movie. It's really long.
Yeah.
Especially when an hour and a half of it is just building up the drama.
Right, exactly.
Building up to nothing, which is, you know, because then it doesn't matter when the final fight starts.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, but I don't necessarily think they need to take everything from a comic. I don't think it needs to be cut and dry like that. I like that they take certain ideas and they mix them up and they make something great out of them, because I personally really love the Age of Ultron movie. I like the comic too, but the movie's really good. And there's other ones too. They didn't necessarily go full on out with Death of Superman, but they took the good pieces from it and they made it work with the story they were trying to tell. You know, it's like multiple writers make comics. It's not like it's one writer for this whole character. Like, it changes. So a director is kind of similar to a writer, where they're taking their spin on that story, but they're taking bits and pieces from everyone else's that have already made it before them. So I don't think it necessarily has to be cut and dry like that. You can let it be its own thing, its own entity, and that's what it is. I mean, but the comics help us know who these characters are before we get to it. That's really, you know, what they're used for when it comes to a movie. Suicide Squad. So MTV Movie Awards happened yesterday. It was great. The Rock and Kevin Hart were co-hosting. At one point, they come out, and The Rock is in a full-on Superman costume, and Kevin Hart in a full-on Batman costume. The Rock goes, "Well, I smell a lot of Marvel bitches up in here." And it was some of the funniest things, one of the funniest lines I heard, because it was like he was on his own trying to instigate a Marvel versus DC fight, and it just didn't really get to that, I guess. But it was hilarious in its own way. But we got a lot of trailers out of it. We got TMNT trailer, which looked great. We got Suicide Squad trailer, which looked awesome. And then we got a new spot for Captain America Civil War, where we actually saw Team Cap working together. So get to Suicide Squad. Your guys' thoughts on the trailer and what you're expecting from the movie, Dan.
You're talking about the one they just dropped, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So for the new trailer, I mean, movie already before we come at interest, you know, I'm really curious to see from Jared Leto how he's going to do with this Joker, because, of course, you know, because they're Batman, they just, you know, just freaking new Jokers all the freaking time. And I'm kind of expecting, because I know, like, what I know from, like Jack Nicholson to Heath Ledger, now to Jared Leto, those type of Jokers, they always seem to try to do something new, is what I noticed. Like, right. How Jack Nicholson was kind of like more like the gangster mastermind, then Heath Ledger was like the psychotic, and then now you have, not psychotic, but he's more just like the dark Joker now. Jared Leto seems to be more like that psychotic Joker, crazy, and I kind of curious to see, like, because we talked about before how, you know, we've only seen little glimpses of him and everything, and I kind of want to see how actually he plays as a new Joker, if he can do, you know, make it look, be as good as Heath Ledger did for the Joker, and so that's what I really want to see, how that movie. Also, so, you know, the other characters, like Killer Croc's awesome, I always like Killer Croc, and then, you know, now you see Harley Quinn, I like the actor, see what she can do with her part, and to me, I think it's going to be a really good movie to add onto the DC Universe.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw bits of Batman, which is just awesome. So
yes, that's what I was just going to say.
That was great. I was already excited for this movie, and then the first trailer dropped with the Bohemian Rhapsody, and I was like, oh my god, this is great. And then they give me a second trailer, and I was like, oh my god, like, I'm really ready for this movie. Curtis, how do you feel about the trailer drop for Suicide Squad, and how you feel towards the movie now?
I like that... I really like everything about it. Like, first of all, let me just get that out of the way quickly and say that it's a great trailer. I've already watched it several times because, it's very much the same trailer that we got with a few sprinkled new things and a new song. Mm-hmm. But the humor and the jokes and stuff, I mean, we really didn't come out of this trailer learning anything more. I think the Joker says, like, I think he laughs. I don't think he even actually speaks in the whole thing. But we're getting to see a little bit more of him. And, I mean, it looks like he almost has, like, a costume change in every scene that he's in, which, again, totally fine with seeing what they're going to do with this guy, with letting Leto go and do it. I think this one's way more focused on the team instead of, like, Will Smith or Harley Quinn like it was in the earlier one. She's very much the focus of it again. But I think she needs to be, because I think she's going to be the main character, because I think we're going to see her origin in the movie and how she becomes Harley Quinn, and then I'm sure there's going to be something with her and the Joker throughout the movie in one way or another. So I'm stoked to see it. The little bit more we got to see of everybody else and kind of Will Smith working stuff out with El Diablo there at the end, that made me laugh really, really hard. And the bar scene, like, that's going to be...
Yeah, that's
scene. I can't wait for it. I mean, there's really going to be some good stuff in this movie. And I think that everything, again, that they've showed us isn't the whole movie. Like, that we are still... There's so much in here that we don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, something that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we were talking before we started, like, we saw the Batman bits and pieces, and we're like, well, I mean, where is this going to go? Is it going to be in the beginning when we're learning about Harley Quinn? Or are we going to do it where it's like, hey, this is Batman while they're assembled, and he's just there. Like, he's, like, going after the Joker, or he's looking at the Suicide Squad, or whatever the hell he's doing. Because, again... This is all his list of, like, his bad villains. Like, this is a bunch of them, and they're all together. So you gotta think Batman's gonna have something to do with this in some fashion. And that's really exciting. Like I said, I was already excited for this movie. I'm even more excited for the movie. There's a chance that I'm gonna like it more than I liked Batman vs. Superman. So, I mean, hey. I mean, there's that. So DC's got that movie coming out. That's awesome. Well, then we get Marvel dropping their big movie here in a few weeks. It is Captain America Civil War, or as I like to call it, another Avengers movie in a way, because it's really...
The greatest comic book movie of all time.
It is, like, you know, right? I mean, I'm glad they threw Captain America's name on there, because I think it's the story obviously has a lot to do with Captain America.
I mean, it has been confirmed by all the people who have seen an early screening. It is a Captain America movie with Avengers in it.
Yes, which is great. I'm excited for it. All the reviews... Like, the non-spoiler ones will start here. I think, Curtis, you said Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that will be awesome.
That's when the embargo drops.
So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Your thoughts, Dan, on what you're expecting from Civil War?
Well, see, so what I'm expecting from Civil War here is that I'm kind of curious to see from, like, Spider-Man and Black Panther specifically, or, like, where their sides are going to be. I know Spider-Man starts out as Stark, and... I know, like, how I'm wanting to see like what they're actually gonna do with it. If he's actually gonna switch his size to, you know, to Rogers or, you know, Captain America. And, you know, we see him Black Panther, but we didn't really see, they haven't thrown anything at you like what side he's really gonna be on yet. And I'm kind of really curious to see where he's gonna go, what they're gonna go with him into the movie. Mm-hmm. And also, I know the premise here is, you know, obviously Captain America is, you know, they guys got the Avengers there. And, you know, they want to register with the government because they had a huge, you know, battle that cost a lot of money. And so it just seems, I'm really just curious to see what they do with all the people. There's so many people in the movie. It's just like, especially I want to see what they do with Vision. And I want to see if actually War Machine actually is going to die. Like, do you think he's actually going to be dead in this movie? Because I know they showed it, but I have a hard time thinking he's going to be dead.
I have my certain view that he is really dead. I think Curtis thinks that he won't be dead, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that will be interesting to see. This is also a good way for them to, like, step up and have this many people on a screen because, as we know, Infinity Wars is coming. And that's, like, 68, I think they've said so far, people in that movie. So, this is a good warm-up for everybody that is a comic book movie fan or whatever, a Marvel fan, whatever, to be prepared. Because you're going to get a lot of dialogue probably in this movie, exchange between people, and a lot of things going on with multiple characters. But my goodness, when Infinity Wars drop, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I shouldn't say similar to Batman versus Superman, but I feel like it's going to be where they're going to throw a lot at you because there's so many characters and try to build so much up. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that it kind of flows, though. It's not just like here and there, and you kind of get lost in the whole actual, you know, premise of the plot that's actually supposed to make the movie.
Yes.
But I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with this movie because I really want to see what happens with the size of Stark and Rogers and, you know, what happens with Bucky and all that.
Yeah, I agree. I am super, super excited about this movie. So far, I've just seen a few people, whether they're tweeting about it or posting about their early review of the screening. Some of the things we've heard, best Peter Parker and Spider-Man we've ever had. The T'Challa Black Panther is outstanding. That Ant-Man's really great in it, which is unexpected. And that this is the best Marvel movie they've ever made. So
you mean Giant Man?
Giant Man, Ant-Man. He's both. He's both in this one. So I mean, just from that alone, I'm ready. But again, I also heard Batman vs Superman was the greatest comic book movie ever of all time, and I was like, well, that was. It's a little misleading. That was.
Well, Marvel has a little better of a name, I would say. Right. They have a little more credit.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
But I'm super, super excited for this movie. I cannot wait. Curtis, your thoughts on what you're expecting and like what you're excited for Civil War.
So, I mean, I'm stoked. There's definitely two things that I would say to Dan is that Black Panther is on Stark's side, though not like off the bat. So they've said multiple times that he is very gray and stays in the middle, but it has been confirmed that at least during that airport fight that he is going to have aligned himself by that point with Tony. And I'm really excited to see Spider-Man. I've heard, at least from these reviews here, that the airport scene is going to be the best fight we've ever seen, and they said not just in a Marvel movie, like in any movie ever. And that one of the directors actually in an interview that I just watched before we did this said that the sequence is 17 minutes long.
My God.
but that not everyone will be fighting for that full 17 minutes, that some people will get disheartened, some people may be quote-unquote taken out of the fight. And if that's in the middle, because we know we're going to have that end fight with Bucky and Cap versus Iron Man, and probably Baron Zemo or something, because he's got to be in it at some point.
Right.
We still don't know who he is. I have my bets on Martin Freeman being Zemo. And actually, one of the guys who saw it, he tweeted that the only issue that he thinks people are going to have in this movie is going to be the villain, but that Iron Man and Cap, like, and their relationship and the emotions they go through when they face off is just so powerful.
Man, that's awesome. There's so many elements to this movie. So Batman vs. Superman we knew was the beginning of the DC world. That was what they were doing. This Civil War is like the kickoff for Phase 3 in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is really the full-on, boom, here we go. This is what's going to shape the rest of the Phase 3 And then we're going to get to Infinity Wars, and that's going to do a bunch of crazy things, too. But I'm super excited for this movie. This one, and then X-Men, which rumor that people from Fox have said that they will be there is a rumor that Wolverine is going to pop up in the new 3D trailer dropping later this week. That we will get some type of Wolverine. So,
man, what a great time to be alive. Yeah. All these, we had what, like three trailers drop at the MTV movie, you know, stuff the other day. And it just like, oh my God.
It's insane. It's just awesome. We had a Rogue One teaser trailer the other day.
Yep.
My God.
We're getting Doctor Strange this week. Like,
yeah.
Yes. In case anybody is wondering, this week on Jimmy Kimmel, it is Marvel week. I believe it starts tonight with Team Cap.
Yep.
And then tomorrow, is it tomorrow we get the Doctor Strange trailer?
I believe Wednesday's Doctor Strange and Thursday's Iron Man.
There we go.
Team Iron Man, I mean.
Okay. There we go. I am super, super excited, guys. That is our review and our little shtick at the end there, getting us ready for the future movies here coming out. We will be back pretty soon, actually before Civil War, because I'm going to make this announcement now. So, Dan, you are a part of the Game of Thrones fandom now. You have started, and you were on a mission to finish all 50 episodes before the 24th.
Godspeed, sir.
Curtis is already done. I have just finished yesterday. So we're not going to say anything right now because Dan is here. But I'm making the announcement now that starting on the 25th, which is the day after the premiere of Season 6, we will do a Monday Game of Thrones wrap-up podcast to go over the episode and where we think it's leading. Because now everything's caught up. The books are all cut up. The show's all cut up. This is where we're at. So I'm very, very excited about that. And like Curtis said, Dan, Godspeed in catching up with us.
It's going to be a great time.
You're going to need some tissues, bro.
Oh, man.
I'm going to throw that at you right now.
For what reason? You don't know.
There's a lot of tissues. That's
I wonder.
A lot of tissues for a lot of different things.
I wonder. Reading the books be faster?
Probably not. You'd learn a lot more about the lore of the world, but it will not be faster.
Oh my goodness. So yes, we'll be having a Game of Thrones podcast, and then we'll be coming back at you with a Civil War review, and that one will be done right away, because I have a feeling that everybody is going to see that one very fast.
I mean, we're going to go see it that Monday anyway. So
I'm seeing it.
You can record it at my house.
It's like an American thing to do.
Yes, I mean,
yeah.
I'm going Thursday. I'm going on the weekend. I'm going Monday. Like, we're just getting this all done.
CTO right? Every day exactly. So that we can see this movie every day.
This is awesome. And we'll be back with a gaming podcast soon. Destiny and The Division both dropping their updates on the same day. So that is tomorrow. So it is going to be very, very packed. I am going to head out of here and hit the gym and then hopefully get on The Division and get to 30 real fast.
Godspeed, sir.
Thank you. See, me and Dan have our own challenges.
The amount of time it'll take him to get 30 to me to watch freaking 43 more episodes of Game of Thrones. He's at the win right now. He's got the upvote here.
I have the advantage. Oh man, I am excited, guys. So as always, you can follow us on our new Second City Cinema Twitter account. Is at Second City CR, as in cinema review. You can always catch our Second City Sports Chats at Second City SC. And Second City Gaming is at Second_Gaming. It is also, find us all in one place on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Second City Sports Chat. And you can listen to all our podcasts on blogtalkradio.com/Second City Sports Chat. Curtis, thank you for being on again. We'll have you back soon for gaming and for more Game of Thrones /movie talk. And Dan, take us away with my favorite time of the week. It is the quote of the week.
All right, thanks, Ryan. I love lamb. Rick Tamlin.
You stay breezy, Chicago.